Good morning.
Brian's right. We were never told to remember the birth of Jesus. We were told to remember his death. Because if this baby had come and never fulfilled his mission, we wouldn't be here this morning. We wouldn't be talking about the things we're going to be talking about. We wouldn't be worshiping the way we worship. Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to be the Savior of the world. Well, let's bring it on home. He came to be your Savior. He came to wash away your sins. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and that we would live forever because of that sacrifice, that lamb that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, so that we could live today and know that we are standing forgiven and righteous. We don't stand in our own righteousness today, but we stand in his righteousness, because he didn't stay a baby, but he came and fulfilled the mission. He came, he was born to die so that you and I could live. That's some great news, amen. We've been singing about it, right? Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He is, he is. And we worship him today. We are his church, and we have been called together. And we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. We do not value our lives unto death. It's all because of what we're celebrating here today. God with us, Emmanuel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, to be tempted in all points just as we are, so he could be a high priest who is sympathetic with our weakness. And that's what we worship. That's what we're celebrating today. Amen. Don't lose your wow. This is incredible. This is the good news of the gospel. And so we celebrate that today. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? Father, we come today, and we are the body of Christ. We have been made that way because of the mission that was fulfilled in your Son. And we celebrate today his birth, because it is shouting at us our need and the reality that you loved us so much that you sent your own Son to die on a cross, to hang on a tree, so we could have life eternal. Lord, we celebrate that today, and we are overwhelmed by it. I pray you would restore to us the joy of our salvation, which is represented in these things. We love you, Lord, and we love one another. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen, amen.
Our very own Faith Kids present to you in their special way, Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, so into Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house in lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
This will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace, goodwill toward men.
So it was when the angels had gone away from into the heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made wildly known and saying which was told with them considering this child. And all these who heard it marveled at those things which they told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as if it was told them.
Worship team, I think you need this sign for Sunday morning. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Yeah, that's great. Hey, let's give Diana a hand. Isn't she just awesome? Glory to God. We're so grateful. Well, we want to thank you for being here. I didn't have batteries in my mic. That's what happened this morning. Because we're used to that all being done. See, we're out of rhythm this morning. It reminded me that we all need batteries too, don't we? You running around without your batteries? Because the Holy Spirit is our power, our resource. Without it, we're just dead in the water, right? Want to thank Amy too, because she wasn't here last week, for all the decorations at the church and all her helpers and who helped out. And Brad and them been working this week. If you look behind you, you'll see two big squares on. They've been working all week. Now those are pop-outs where we can use our spotlights. And we're going to have a big screen there in a couple weeks, and it's going to be very helpful. We just appreciate you guys are worker bees, let me tell you. And we don't take you for granted. I just appreciate you so much. I don't know how to say it. It's just you guys are a blessing to us, and we appreciate you. Well, this is Advent time, and is our tradition. We've been lighting the Advent candles. We started 4 weeks ago. We lit the candle of hope. And Peggy shared, powerful. Of all the people to talk about hope, lost her husband, her son, recently her daughter, and then was told she has cancer. See, hope is not for the good days. Hope is for difficult times. Hope is not for what we have, but for what we don't have. We heard from Mark and Iris. Greg will be excited. We got to see the pictures of the new roof in Zacatecas, Mexico, the church that Hope built. That's what we call it. And you guys were all part of that. And then the next week, we lit the candle of love. And we got to hear from Frank and Shannon, and we heard their wedding date. So keep that marked down. We talked about love. And God's love is what makes us it possible for us to love one another. Nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing, ever. And then last week, we lit the candle of joy. And wow, what a powerful testimony from Chase has had a moment of terror in his life when he was standing and his wife was having a baby and he wasn't prepared to deliver it, but he stepped up and did it. And because the midwife couldn't make it, it was an exciting story, wasn't it? I was on the edge of my seat. Glory to God. Because see, when my children were born, men were where they were supposed to be in the waiting room, right? This is a different day today. Everybody's participating, but it was exciting. And that time of stress was followed by a time of great joy, and we got to see that new baby. And wow, and remember, joy is a delight in God that is not affected by pain or pleasure. And today, we're going to light the peace candle. And we've asked Joe and Susan to come. They have an exciting story to tell about peace, because one Sunday after church, they left this place not knowing what was going to happen. They were in a very serious automobile accident. You're going to see some photos. And would you put your hands together and greet them, because they're going to put shoe leather on this candle called peace.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Joe and Susan. Our daughter, Faith, is upstairs right now. I know a lot of you don't know us very well. We hope that'll change soon. But just real quick, just want to talk a little bit about what actually happened to us. They're not up there yet. But we had, like I said, we were in a car accident. We were both heading out towards Cheney. And there was somebody ran a red light, or ran a stop sign, actually, and kind of hit us. We spun around at least once and then rolled over at least four times. Ended up in a ditch quite far away, upside down. They'll see that. It wasn't quite that long. That's the car we were in, yeah. And so it actually hit Faith's door, our daughter's door, 2 years' door. And the interesting thing about this is that we rolled over, we hit that, and then I'm that kind of guy that I'll get in there and do it. I'll lose my pen, I'll go bananas, but I can get in there if there's a disaster. So I just knew I had to keep calm and try and keep a smile on my face for Faith. She started crying right away, and obviously, so we were in a good shape with that, so I felt actually kind of good about that. Didn't know what to do with Faith. I couldn't leave her just walking around while I was getting Susan, because she was upside down. We were both upside down. And then two ER nurses showed up. They were both driving by, and so they kind of just like, what can we do? And I'm like, hold her. And so she's like, I'll put her in her car. I was like, that's not going to work out, but all right. And so I walk out, and I was able to get Susan out. And there's a whole lot more to the story, of course, and I'd love to tell you, just call me later. But real quick, we were all got out. We were all okay. The guy who hit us actually was the one who called the police and everything. He was okay, too. So God really watched out for us. And so Susan's going to tell a little bit more about the testimony, that story, what God taught her.
So we didn't end up going to the hospital, which is a miracle in and of itself. We did have a few scrapes, but overall, we didn't see any reason to go. And so the next day, we ended up, our daughter was just in what should have been a, fatal car accident, so at least we should see if the pediatrician will see her. And so they got her in, and he's an older man who'd been doing this for many, many years, and I just was shocked. He looked like a deer in headlights. He didn't know what to say to us or what to do, but he did examine her. So I couldn't get over his faith. So that night, I actually got a call from my sister-in-law who just wanted to see how we were doing. She is a district attorney, and part of her job is she goes to sad car sites like that, crash sites all the time. So So I was telling her what I thought about the pediatrician and, you know, how he was responding to us. And I had said, yeah, he probably doesn't see a lot of two-year-olds in a serious car accident. Usually they end up going to the hospital. And she said, honey, they don't go to the hospital. They're dead. And it was then that I started crying, because that's when it really hit me what a miracle it was that we were alive, because here's someone that really knows. So that night, I'm glad that we were alive, but I was like, okay, God, what? He taught me a question to ask a long time ago, and that question is, what do you want me to learn from this? Not always why, but what do you want me to learn from this? And what he brought to my mind was a long-standing struggle I've had in my life with fear, especially if those of you who know me, it's really been a big struggle this year. I think part of it is being a mother. And what he brought that struggle to my mind, and what he said to me is, Susan, I just brought you through your worst case scenario, and you're okay. And he did. I can't think of a worse scenario than a car hitting my two-year-old daughter's door with my husband and I in the car. But we survived. He took care of us. One thing, God, because this is a long-standing struggle in my life, many years ago, he actually gave me a definition of fear, and I now know what it's called, and Pastor Joe will appreciate this. It's an acrostic. God had given me one with the word fear, and it is fantasy eating at reality. And it's perfect, because fear is fantasy. And the reason is because God is in complete control. How many times does he tell us not to fear? He overcame this world. We have victory. There's no reason to fear, and he can bring us through anything. We were given a few verses to look up for today, and when I got to John 16:33, I started crying because God had used that in my life many years ago, and I knew it was perfect. And it's, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's why fear is a fantasy, because God has overcome the world. When I was grabbing a Bible to look up these verses, God happened to pick up this Bible, and this actually was in the car with us. It was brand new. I'd never used it, although I bought it many years ago, and it was in the glove box. I always have a Bible in my glove box, and nothing in our car was where it was to begin with, even if it was in the glove box. And what shocked me, and I know you can't see it from where you're sitting, but this pristine Bible I'd never even opened has many bumps and bruises and scrapes on it. And what hit me is it's more beat up than we were. And I thought, what a wonderful picture of Christ. You know, he took our bumps and our bruises and our iniquities upon him so that he would overcome the world, so that we could have peace in any battle, that he would take away any reason to fear. And so I'm thankful to be able to share that today, because our life really is a testimony of who God is and what he can do. And I thank him for overcoming the world.
Put your hands together again and thank them. We have a special mug we want to give them. We give everyone a mug for the candle that they lit. We found this the other day. It's a peace mug, but it's got a little baby peace mug there for Faith. So she'll have her own mug. All right. Bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I don't know if you saw that picture of the it's hard to make out because there was so much stuff in the picture, but it was the baby seat upside down. Can you imagine looking back and seeing your child hanging upside down in the car and still be able to hang on to some level of peace and know that God is working and doing something? Praise the Lord. God is with us. That is our series during these few weeks. When the plausible arguments come, this is the answer to almost everything. God is with me. He is always at work, even when I can't see him. And that's why we can always ask the question. You know what it is, right? What's the question? I wonder what this will make possible. And we have found that true. Brian was just in an automobile accident, gets back from Israel, and totals his Mustang, which you've had. Have you had that since high school or something? In a long time. But God has given him another vehicle, and we got to ride in it the other day. And So we're grateful. We don't have the answers to all these things, but we know we live our lives and we're able to experience what these candles represent, the hope, the love, the joy, and now the peace, the peace. So we want to talk about peace this morning in the time we have. 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Say it with me, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Have you ever planned a birthday party? We had one here at the church yesterday for Stephanie and Jeff. They're at another church this morning, but they had remember the little baby that was born and didn't know if he's going to make it. Now he's growing and running around the church. And so we had a big birthday party. A lot of plans went into it. Invitations were sent out. And you know, the better the preparation, the better the party. Is that right? Well, this birthday party was planned for 700 years before it ever happened. Everything had been put into play. And I was thinking about that the other day. If God, in the fullness of time, Jesus came, and I think of all the moving parts of the story, all the prophecies that had to be fulfilled, and it just restores to me the reality that God is more in charge than I think he is. And if he can do all that, what can he do in my life? And so we find, and the children represented it well. I think we all do that every Sunday, have the kids just present our scripture reading for the day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Didn't they do awesome? Well, Luke 2:13-14, the children read it for us. We know the shepherds are out in the field, and those are my favorite characters in the Christmas story. They're the blue-collar workers, the midnight guys. They're the ones that the lowest of the low in that day. They couldn't testify in court. They weren't invited into the temple. And here, they are the ones who are chosen to herald the good news of Christ's birth. And I think that was all planned out. And God was saying something to us. And then later, the wise men are going to come. We're going to hear from them Christmas Eve. And God's saying the spectrum has been covered from the lowest to the highest. This good news is for everyone. And we know the angels declared in Luke 2:13-14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Everybody knows those words. Even people who aren't Christians know those words. In fact, you get it on Christmas cards. I get Christmas cards from unbelievers, and those words are in their Christmas cards. I wonder, do you know what it is you're sending to me? You know, we have Christmas carols about these words that the angels sang that night, but I wonder what kind of peace was it that the angels were talking about? Was it international peace? Was it political peace? Evidently not. Was it the end of all wars? No, not at all. In fact, in 3,100 years of recorded history, the world has only known 286 years of peace. That's 8% of time. The rest of the time, there's always been conflict. There's always been war. And in that time, 8,000 treaties have been made and broken. So I wonder, did the angels miss it? Peace on earth? Was the mission not fulfilled? In our culture, I don't know about you, but I think it's the number one thing people are looking for, isn't it? Peace. They want peace in their lives. And many are searching for it. You can find it in a lot of different places, yoga, meditation. How about medication? Yeah, that could be helpful, right? Some turn to drugs and alcohol. Why do they do that? Because they're looking for peace in a chaotic world or in a chaotic life. They're trying to find that inner peace, and they're searching for it, but maybe in all the wrong places. It's like the other day I was at breakfast. I think I might have told you this. We had Saturday breakfast, and I couldn't find my car keys. And I walked around, walked back in, asked the waitress, asked the owner of the restaurant. I came out and asked the guys, has anybody seen my keys? They said, you mean the ones that are around your finger right there in your hand? Yeah, those keys. I was looking in all the wrong places. It was closer than I thought. I think peace is closer than you think. It might be right in front of you. You don't even know it. What kind of peace did the Prince of Peace bring? In fact, in Luke 21, Jesus said this.
He said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be afraid. These things must come to pass. And nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. Don't be surprised. Jesus said it would be that way. But then he said in chapter 12, verse 51, it's not on the screen, but he said, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Yeah, that's what the angel said. Jesus said, I tell you, not at all. But rather, division. Father against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Is Jesus arguing with the angels? Is he saying what the shepherds heard that night was not true? Well, I think you need to look again at what the angel said. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I want you to notice, towards men, not among men. There's a difference, isn't there? We're looking for peace among men. Jesus said, not going to happen. But there is going to be a peace that will come towards men. It's a peace that God is giving to us. In fact, in the New Living Translation, it says it this way, that this peace is to those on whom God is pleased. The NIV says, this peace on those whom his favor rests. So this peace isn't for everyone. It's for the people who God wants to, in Romans 5:1, God has a plan that we can be at peace, we can have peace from God. We can have peace with God. It's something Jesus was declaring, the angels were declaring, a peace that's not of this world. It's something totally different. In fact, the Greek word, and you'll have in your insert this morning, it's not on the screen, but you can fill it in. It means to join, to rest, or to set at one again. To join, to rest, or to set at one again. You're going to see that as we go through this message, how that word is fulfilled. That was what was on the angel's heart. That's what the angel saw. They knew there would be wars and rumors of war. They knew there would be division. In fact, Jesus coming itself would create division. But there was a peace that was coming, and it was going to rest on the hearts of men. In fact, in Psalms 29:11, not on the screen, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And here's one of my favorite scriptures. I don't know about you, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Well, what makes this peace perfect? So we're going to do the little acrostic. Thank you, Susan. We're going to do a little acrostic here with the word perfect. And see, what makes this peace special? So we make sure we're looking in the right places, looking for the right kind of peace. First, this peace, the letter P, it's a promised presence. This peace comes from a promised presence. In John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is not a peace we're going to drum up. It's a peace that actually God is going to give to us. Jesus said, it's my peace, and I'm going to deposit it in you. In Romans 15, 33, Paul just finished writing the crown jewel of his letters, of church doctrine and theology. Powerful. I mean, the church uses Romans. That's where we get the doctrine of justification by faith. We see the atonement. We see our story in there of why Christ came. And Paul elegantly laid it all out for us. And we refer to it often. And he, in the first 11 chapters, he lays out the theology. Then he begins to talk to us about application. And in chapter 15, he lays his pen down. He takes a deep breath. And remember, we looked at this when we were looking at joy. In verse 13, he said, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And in verse 33, he ends it. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. That's how he ends up the great teaching of the church. Because that is the bottom line, isn't it? Because if all these things are really true, then maybe I'm going to receive the peace that the angels were talking about. Jesus has always declared the promise of presence, and it's what brings us great peace. Sometimes we're not aware of his presence, and I think we pray. I hear myself praying sometimes, oh, Lord, come and be with us. The Lord says, I'm already there. What I really need to pray is, Lord, would you make me aware of your presence? Would you make me aware of it? In the Old Testament, Joshua just received word that Moses is dead. That'll take your peace. Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, and here's the other part, Joshua. You're going to take his place. I don't mind being number two guy, but I don't know about, yeah. And then God made some promises to him. He promised him presence. And in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, nor dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I believe when you're most aware of God's presence, you will be most aware of peace because it comes from him. How about the letter E? I had a lot of words for this, but eternal has to come to the surface. This peace is non-ending. It'll follow us into heaven. There's a lot of things we're going to leave here, but this isn't one of them. We're taking this to heaven with us, this idea of peace. In Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Old Testament, we talked about the covenant of peace. It's an everlasting covenant. It's non-ending. He said it will make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Wow. This is not just for now. This is something we're going to have. It's eternal. It actually forms the other word I would have picked is our expectations. People who walk in faith, we have an expectation, don't we, about what God has promised us. Now, not on the screen, I've often been interested in the words that are always coupled with peace. Like Paul often said, grace and peace, grace and peace. In Jude 1, the writer says, peace and love. They said, may they be multiplied to you with mercy. Who is he talking to? Everyone who's preserved in Christ, he said, that love and peace be multiplied. 2 Corinthians 13:11, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Wow. Wherever peace is present, love is present, and grace is present. In fact, if you're not at peace today, the first thing you might want to look at is, do I really understand the grace of God? Because if you understand the grace of God, grace and peace go together. And where does grace come from? He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, keep backing up in the equation. You're going to end up with the spirit of humility, which is really dependence upon God. And recognizing that he holds me in the palm of his hand, and that brings grace to me, and that always produces peace. If peace and love go together, then could we maybe make the assumption today that what Paul said about love is also true about peace in Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would that be true about peace too? Then nothing can take my peace. Because the peace we're talking about is eternal and it is forever. It's an inside job. It's not about my circumstances. And that takes us to the next letter. True? Rest. R. Rest. This kind of peace brings a supernatural rest in our life. When I think of rest, what do you think about? How many of you have trouble sleeping at night? Huh? Has that been? Sometimes with my knee surgery, man, that was a big deal for me. Go weeks and not be able to sleep. I needed rest. How about you? And some of you struggle sometimes with sleeping. You know how important rest is. But there's another level of rest that God has for us. And in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Is he talking to you? Is that us? He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. You don't have to muster it out. I'm going to give it to you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find, here it is, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what we call the rabbi yoke. Every rabbi had a yoke. It wasn't just the animal yoke. Baby, could you get me a little glass of water? Every rabbi had a yoke, and it was a list of things. And the followers of that rabbi would keep the list, whatever it was. And some rabbis had long lists. Some longer. Jesus said, my yoke is different from all the other rabbis because my yoke is easy. What was he trying to say to us? Cease from your labor. I'm going to do it. I'm taking care of the list. I am going to take the place of that. So my list is short. It's easy. My burden is light. I'm not going to weigh you down. He was trying to declare his grace. In Hebrews, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would have not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For those who enter his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Some of you, I believe God is through. I think one of the reasons we don't have this peace is we're working too hard. And I don't mean going to work every day. Don't tell your boss I said that. I'm talking about we're striving. We're striving, aren't we? Even in our own salvation. How many of you think you're not good enough? Thank you, sweetie. How many of you think, boy, I just got to do more. And God's saying, I've already done it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You can rest in my grace. He's saying, stop. I've done this thing for you. And that's where the peace comes from. Because if I'm laboring all the time, I'm not going to have peace. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. How about the familiar scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? You know it. You can say it by heart, can't you? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone. Now, we all trumpet that verse, but I'm not sure we live it. I think we know it, but God's wanting you to walk in this. He's saying, listen, cease from your labor. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I have made this provision for you. You can rest. You can have peace. Rest is peaceful, isn't it? Rest is being able to stop. Hey, listen, I've done this work for you. You're laboring so much when you really don't need to. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Is that good news? How about the letter F? Fruit. This piece is fruit. That's right. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, what? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Notice, it doesn't say fruits, it says fruit. And something I've realized about this, you know, I think sometimes you can fake this a little bit. Pick out one or two and fake it, but you can't fake them all. And I think they grow together simultaneously in your life when Jesus is present. Peace and joy and love, they're all there together. And that's how you know God's presence is there. And the Spirit of God is bringing peace into our life. It's a fruit, isn't it? It's a fruit. If you live in the Spirit, he says, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 6 through 11. Can we look at that? I'm going to look that up. Great scripture. As he talks about in verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Where does peace come from? Being spiritually minded, it's a work of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. How do we know if we belong to God? I believe peace will be present in our life. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That sounds like a work of the Spirit, right? And I think peace is part of that. Romans 15:13, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? Who remembers? By the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. This is not something, I mean, some of you, I think, naturally have peace. I think some of you are calmer than the rest of us. Some of us are more excitable. Is that true? Yeah, we're all a little different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a peace that is supernatural, that God wants to plant in us. It is the very Spirit of God within us that gives. When I think of peace, I think of a steadiness and a calmness in our life. How about the letter E? Evangelism. It's true. Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the what? The gospel of peace. That is the gospel, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know what be reconciled means? It means to be at peace with God. That's why the baby came. That's why the cross had to be, so we could have this peace that the angels talked about. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Listen, if you walk in this peace, I believe it'll be the greatest evangelistic tool you have, because people are going to go, what's up with you? Some of you in this church got pink slips last week. Did you freak out? Everybody around you did. That's your opportunity to be different, because God's given you an inner peace and an assurance. Remember, that rest, isn't that part of the definition of that word? That's right, to have rest, to be joined, to be one again with the Lord. If that's true in your life, then whatever happens to us, we will be able to plug in and have that peace as a fruit in our life, and others will see it. It'll be the great of all. You say, well, I don't know how to lead somebody to Jesus. Just live in peace and watch. People will come up to you and they'll ask the question and you'll be able to give them the answer. The problem today is people aren't asking the question. Why? They don't see it. We need to start demonstrating that. What an opportunity. And how about the letter C? This is important. I put the word compass. I believe peace is the way God directs your life. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That word is where we get the word umpire. God is saying that peace will be the umpire in your life. Peace will guide our lives. Have you ever had the experience? And maybe everything seemed right in the natural, but you didn't have a peace. That was God ruling in your heart. He's gonna direct you through peace. And I found in my marriage, this is just us, it's important that my wife and I be in agreement in peace. And if one of us doesn't have peace, I take that pretty serious, and I hold steady. And in the natural, everything may seem check, 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 but I don't have peace. That's a gift that God's given to me. I call it my peace meter. If my peace meter's not right, I need to hold steady. Maybe I need to change course, even though things in the natural seem right. God's peace is going to guide us. Hebrews 13:21. It says, make your complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen? Peace. It'll guide you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We all know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Sometimes things seem right to me intellectually, but I have a lack of peace. Then there's other times when I have peace about something and everybody else is going, woo, but I have a peace about it. You really want to go over there? You really want to do that? Yeah, I have a peace. And God's given that to you as a compass. And T, the last letter, we saw this with Joy too. Peace is for times of trouble. When we have trouble, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me, you will have peace. I wish you'd just stop there. But what else did he say? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I believe the peace of God will protect you and guard you. Isn't that what Philippians 4 says? Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and what? What will be the result? And the peace of God, see Romans 5, you know, that was peace with God. Now we have the peace of God. The peace of God came to me. The peace of God is in me. Peace of God's going to flow through me. He said the peace of God is going to transcend all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to hold you steady in difficult times. Is that right? Have you ever had that experience? It's the opposite of anxiety. That's an interesting word. It means to be in pieces. Anxiety causes you to be in pieces. That's like a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's like, you ever been there, Martha and Mary? Remember that story? Was Martha upset with Mary? Why was she upset with Mary? Because there were so many pieces that had to be done, and she was anxious about it. And she was Jesus was part of her life, but Mary chose the better thing. She had focused on him, where Martha was all anxious. because there were so many pieces. This is the time of year you need this word, okay? Don't be anxious. You know, be single-minded, be focused. And the greatest story, I don't have time to read it this morning, but Mark 9, 35, you know it. Jesus and them launched out into a boat, and the storm came, remember? And what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. He wasn't just resting his eyes. He was sleeping. And the disciples were anxious because why? Because everything in the natural said, we're going to die. It said they started taking on water. You don't. That's not a good thing when you're on the sea. The water's supposed to be outside the boat, not in the boat. And the lightning and the thunder and the waves are going, and the disciples, they're thinking, and they even said to Jesus, Mark records it this way, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. You ever felt that way? God doesn't care. If he cared, he'd do something. And they couldn't stand it anymore because they thought, well, this is it. And they go over and wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? What did he say to them? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And he gets up, and what's he say to the storm? One word, peace. See, when Jesus speaks peace, everything quiets down. But here's the reality. I love the picture of this lighthouse. Peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is the presence of God while in the storm. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God in the midst of trouble. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about you're going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. Thermometers could tell you all about the storm. The disciples could tell you all about the storm. But here was the reality of that story. They were with the Son of God. All they had to do was go sleep with him. Just go curl up with Jesus. You're not going to drown. Feels like you are, but you're not. Don't lean on it. But they didn't. See, there's two sides to that boat. Which was the greatest side? I mean, we're all, how many of you love the story when Jesus gets up, peace, and everything goes quiet. Say, man, I want to do that. That's my favorite part of the story. I believe it would have taken more faith, not to calm the storm, but to sleep through it. That's peace. Where I could be in the middle of the storm and everybody else is freaking out, but I have a calmness in my heart. It's not my peace, it's the peace that God gave me. Quickly, what is the difference between God's peace and the world's peace? Because you have a choice today, which one you're looking for. Real quickly, in God's peace, and this is based on John 14, 27, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world. So the world has a peace they can give you, but it's not like the peace he's going to give you. Here's the difference. God's peace is based on a promise, we said, but the world's peace is based on problems. God's peace is eternal, we said, but the world's peace is earthly and temporal. It comes and goes. It fades. Depending on what's happening in your life, will depend whether you're calm or you have peace. God's peace causes anxiety to weaken. The world's peace strengthens anxiety. God's peace is centered on Christ, but the world's peace is centered on man. God's peace is ever-present, but the world's peace is elusive. Everybody's trying to find it, but they can't seem to get it. But you're blessed today because you're right plugged into the source of peace. And based on that, we're going to come to the table this morning. We do it every week. It's a time of reflection, and I believe that when we take communion, all of heaven stands up and leans in. Because Jesus said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. What do we remember? Are we remembering his birth? Is that what he said? Remember my birth? No. He said, remember the sacrifice that was made for you. Because through this sacrifice, that peace is coming. Because you're going to be at peace with God. That's the peace the angels talked about. Who here is at peace with God this morning? Reconciliation has come. Before, we were enemies with God. We're not enemies anymore. We're at peace. He even called us friends. And now because we're at peace with God, we have peace from God. And that peace wants to flow through us, to join, to rest, to be one again. That's the peace God wants to bring. And I believe it's the greatest gift that God's given to us during this season. And I hope this morning that God's speaking into your heart. I know what I said. I don't know what you heard. I don't know what God's speaking to you individually. But I believe God's wanting to fill your home with peace. How many need some peace in your home? I remember one time I was preaching in a church. I said, is there peace in your home? And this little kid was sitting with his parents. He goes, no. They buried that kid. I don't ever know what happened to him. You know, slept him down. We need the honesty of children, don't we? No, there's no peace in our home. Is it true? God wants you to have peace in your home. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to be at peace with yourself. Who here is you're your own worst enemy, aren't you? I am. God wants you to be. How many of you would like to have some of this? To be at rest, to cease from my labors, to understand what God has done in my life, and I'm going to take this all the way to heaven with me. Not that there's not going to be times I'm sad or times I'm anxious, but I'm praying that God's peace will be there in the midst of that storm. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have trouble in my life. In fact, after I became a Christian, I think I had more trouble because I was more aware of it. God didn't say you're going to get a pass. He said you're going to get peace. Some of you are looking for the pass. You're looking for the world's peace. The world's peace is trouble-free. God's peace is peace in the midst of the trouble. And that's what God's offering to us today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've thought about it, you've talked to people about it, but you've never really said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to receive that peace and joy and love in my life. I want to accept you. I want to humble myself under your hand and surrender to you and allow you to work in my life. Maybe you've never done that. Today's your day. I can't think of a better time than Christmas Sunday to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start following you. You've been trying to get ready and cleaned up. You'll waste of time. Cease from your labor. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And you will have peace like you've never known it before. It's time to rest. It's time to be one again. Amen? It's time to stop being double-minded. All the little pieces flying around. Because anxiety's real. I'm not saying, oh, you'll never be anxious. Yes, you will. And I know there's some real heavy things that go on in people's lives. But I believe God's peace is there for you to help you. And I want you to partake of that today. So as we come to this table, if you're not a member of this church, it's open communion. If you're part of the body of Christ, you are free to come. This is the table of peace. Jesus paid the price. He said, I did this so you can have peace. It is the covenant of the blood, the covenant of peace. He came to defeat the enemy. See, we're not at war anymore. We're at peace. God's waved the white flag. And he wants us to enter into that peace this morning. Would you do that with me? Father, we thank you for the promise of peace. We thank you for the promise of presence. We thank you, Lord, that this peace is eternal. That's always going to be with us. It's never going to depart from us. We thank you, Lord, that we can rest at this supernatural rest that you've given to us. It's time to stop and just to see, stop wrestling. And Lord, some of us are still fighting with you. And you don't want to fight anymore. You want us to stop that and just come to that place of rest and peace. We don't have to work out our salvation anymore, work for it, and try to be better. And so you'll accept, no, Lord, you've already done that. Well, I pray for the fruit of this peace to be real in our lives, that the Spirit of God would work this in us, it would come to the surface, and it would cause others to see it in our lives, and they'll be drawn to it and want to know about it, and we'll be able to introduce them to this supernatural peace. Lord, I thank you for the guidance this peace gives us. I pray we'd be more attentive and more aware as we allow your peace to lead us. And Lord, I thank you that it is the filter of all the troubles of life. Thank you for being honest with us, that in this life we will have trouble. But you have come to give us peace because you knew about it. And we like the disciples, have a choice to make. What side of the boat are we going to be on? Are we going to be on the peace side? Or are we going to be on the anxious side? Lord, we choose peace today. And some of us really need it in the situations we're in. Thank you, Father. We thank you in advance. That's what we said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in advance, we're thanking you, Lord. Because no matter how you answer our prayers, we know, Lord, that peace is coming. You're going to be with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle this morning, take the bread and dip it in the cup, and then make your way again back to your seat before we dismiss, reflecting on this reality, because this is what Jesus is offering you at this table. Peace. Not the world's peace, but His peace. I pray that you will partake this morning in that spirit. God bless you as you come. It's going to be a great week. I'm just looking forward to it with all the things going on. I hope you'll use it. Keep focus on what this opportunity is before us. People are more open during these few days than any other time to hear about this wonderful good news that we're celebrating here today. You can decorate your house. You can do all kinds of things, but be open, be ready. We even put a little baby in our manger out in our front yard, and it was electronic. Child Protective Custody came to see us the other day because the neighbors, these people got a real baby out in their front yard. But it did make people stop and talk to them. Be creative, all right? But most important, live out the peace of God in your life so people can see it and be aware of it. Amen? It's a great invitation. We're going to be here to pray at the end of the service. We invite, don't rush off. We got time. We're early compared to second service time. And so first service, you're late, but the second service, we're a little early. So take time to visit with one another before you leave. Please be safe this week. Enjoy your family. Just be prayed up. This is a great opportunity when family members come over. This is a time to allow peace. How many of you need some peace in your family times, right? That can be an interesting time when families get together and things come to the surface. It's an opportunity to live out what we've been talking about today. So I encourage you to walk. If you need prayer this morning, you're here today, and you say, man, I have never asked Christ to take charge of my life, and I want to do that today. We want to pray with you. Please come. If you're here, you just need encouragement today. You need a hug or something. We can do that. You just want somebody to pray peace over your life. We can do that as well. Anything at all. Take advantage of the body of Christ. It's God's gift to you. Amen. It is God's gift. I want to give you this blessing. It's an old blessing. God gave it to Moses. He told him to pass it through to Andrew. Aaron, thank you. Where's Andrew at? Andrew, this is a blessing for you. It was to pass down through the children of Israel and to be spoken over them to this very day, these very words, and we want to receive it today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Wow. I'm receiving that today. How about you? Father, I pray Your blessing, this blessing, over this congregation. I love them more than I can put into words. I would lay my life down for them, and I think they would do the same for me. And we're that way because of what You've done in our lives. Thank You that You have reconciled us, and You have brought us to a place of peace with You, with ourselves, with one another. I pray we can live this peace this week. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the precious gift. Emmanuel, God with us. It changes everything. We love You, and we love each other. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. We'll be